leading to disease. That it's not your anger that causes this illness. It's not your grief that causes this illness. What it is specific emotions in specific situations in our life. If held long enough and not resolved, our bodies will speak to us through a symptom of disease or illness, telling us that something in our lives needs to change.
And there's power and healing in this knowledge. So that's why we want to talk today about how our biographies become our biologies. And Dr. Schultz, you wanted to talk a little bit about that past trauma is associated with disease, but there's a misunderstanding, I think, that past trauma does not cause disease.
Well, I think what's interesting is when I went to Women to Women and I watched you come in with all these charts, what was unique to me was that on one side of the chart were the emotions and the emotional patterns.
Like and family history.
Family history. Yeah. Like John, my father, incested my sister age 14. Right. I witnessed the event. My father drank. My mother dragged him off the lawn every morning. And then on the right side of the chart were the pathology reports, where there was a cyst in the left ovary,
right,
where there was chronic endometriosis. And what amazed me was how you put it together, which was not that you were just saying that that trauma on the left side of the chart was causing the physical problem in the body. What you did was you created practical things for the patient to do to correct the patterns that they had in their life and their current relationships that were based on past traumas. So what you showed me and what I've read in literature to support you and what I've seen myself in my own medical intuitive practice is that our past traumas don't cause our physical problems. What they do is they help teach us patterns of behavior that are not healthy and can lay down the setting for disease in our bodies.
Unless we change them.
Exactly.
Right. So we're going to talk about how to identify those, how to change them, and we'll describe the emotional centers and how the medical literature supports this. And also, Dr. Schultz, you want to talk about, you know, how we have an idea that toxic emotions cause illness or are associated with illness. If you'd just talk about how certain of those go in all parts of the body. They're not just, you know, it's like rage isn't stored in the uterus.
Well, I think it's fascinating because, once again, I had read in lots of literatures that anger causes this. So, you know, you create
right.
a whole population of women in the 50s who look like plasticine women, where their faces are, what do you say, la, 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 la.
The Stepford Wives.
The Stepford yeah. Wives. And that their stoicism is, you know, I can take this, I can bear this. And, you know, then they come down with an illness. And then certain other articles say, you know, depression causes this. What I learned is that disease is like an inner compass that points to us, tells us intuitively what area in our life, what behavior needs to change. So, for example, anger, grief, fear, and joy, they don't cause or heal illnesses. What they do is they are flavors of emotions when present in a relationship or a behavior can set the scene for disease if not healed. We have basically six steps. They're based on the seven emotional centers or seven chakras that you've probably read about. There's six steps that you really need to lay the foundation for healing. Each one of them, be it the first one having to do with the family, first emotional center or first chakra, the second one having to do with relationships or power, the third one having to do with self-esteem or work, the fourth one having to do with love, expression, and partnerships, fifth expression, and sixth, general purpose in life. Each one of these steps, if we learn how to develop healthier and happier behavior, we can set the scene for health and happiness in our lives.
Right. So this isn't just about healing something you already have, but we want to give you a way to live that creates health daily in yourselves.
The first step, Chris and I were noodling around titles. Chris really is good. She's a fabulous clinician. People go to her to really create health in the body, a groundedness. The first step is home on the range, building one's connection with the range, the earth, and home, a family, a sense, a group of people that help form our sense of identity and a sense of belonging. So, in fact, the emotional intuition in the first emotional center or first chakra would be a sense of belonging, safety and security in the world, and a given a set of roots. The body areas that this would affect would be the bones, the joints, the spine, the back, the blood, and the immunity. And in fact, the first intuitive reading that I'm going to discuss, the title is Pining for Contact. This woman, Jane Kennedy, is 55. I've changed the name. It's no one you're going to know. If you think you're her, it's not. It's a composite. Jane Kennedy is 55. Her father died when she was 12. Unfortunately, she grew up without having any father in her house. Later on, she entered into a corporation, which is a family company. They said, join our company, join a piece of the rock. So she became a member of this insurance company and ended up having an affair on the road with a married man who told her, unfortunately, that he was separated from his wife and they were having problems and only she could understand him. He said he was only separated and eventually he would be getting a divorce. Their affair went on for many years. She had a sense of connection to the company. She felt her life was settled and she had this great relationship. What ended up happening was she found out, unfortunately, the guy, he was married. And when he found out the jib was up, he ended the relationship abruptly. Jane felt she lost everything. She lost a piece of the rock, her company, because she had to leave. She was embarrassed by the affair, and she lost her relationship. So what did she do? She went home to the mothership, and she decided to move in with her mother and take care of her because her mother had always been sickly. This occurred for 15 years. And then Jane's mother died. After that, Jane's health went down the tubes. She developed problems with depression. Scoliosis that she'd always had her whole life was getting worse. She felt chronically tired, fatigued. She had fibromyalgia as a diagnosis. And she went from numerous therapists to therapist, helping her with what they said would be food allergies. These could help her better. Jane told me in the reading, yes, she felt the world was not safe, that at any time, a man could go poof, so why bother? She said that at any time, love could be taken away, first with her father, second with her married man in the company, and third with her mother. She said that she'd grown to mistrust everyone. She thought that she was safe, that she could depend on her mother and take care of her, but she put all of her eggs in one basket. And when her mother left her life, when she died, her life felt empty.
I have a couple questions on this particular situation. What did Jane's mother do when the father died when Jane was 12? What did her mother go on to do? Do you have any idea what happened there?
That is actually a great question. What Jane's mother did was she said, that's the only man that I can ever love.
Oh, she did.
He provided me for everything in my life. And in our family, that vow you take is sacred. Vow, religion,
okay.
A sense of family. And once you marry a man, you say, to death do us part. And that was it for her mother.
So do you know how old the mother was when the father died?
The mother was like 42.
Okay. So she basically lived the life of a widow from that point on, didn't date anymore,
Actually, what's interesting is that's, I never thought of it that way, actually, because that's exactly what happened. Because when Jane's father died, her mother becoming a widow, basically her mother's health went down the tubes. She took to her bed. She had chronic back pain. And in fact, Jane just thought that back problems ran in her family.
Yeah, so it's like mother like daughter here.
Well,
which is so often the case for two reasons, nature and nurture. One is you get a certain set of genes. Two, you are programmed by what you see your parents do until you consciously bring that family pattern up onto the screen, which is what we're trying to do here. When you bring that pattern up onto the screen, then you have a choice. Obviously, Jane didn't question her mother's behavior here. At the age of 42, the husband dies, and she's got the whole second half of her life ahead of her. This is Jane's mother I'm talking about,
right?
Okay, because I'm trying to see what is the pattern in someone's connection to their roots. And remember, connection to our roots always has a positive legacy, and it always has a shadow side.
Well, what could Jane do? First of all, Jane was born with scoliosis when she was 12, and had back problems.
After her father died or before?
Around that time.
Right.
And then her mother had back problems her whole life. Jane just thought that her back problems were part of her genes. I mean, in fact, you could say the same thing about me. My mother had scoliosis, and I had scoliosis.
Right.
What am I to do?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I stop that legacy?
That's what we're going to be talking about.